Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Hello, this is Keith Chancy with the Kanakuk Institute podcast, coming to you live from Branson, Missouri. And we are so excited today to talk to you about, you know, we've been kind of going through the book of James, and today we're going to start with chapter 2. And I cannot be more excited about this passage, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And what we're going to do is, you know, James is giving us a series of tests. And what he's done, he's kind of talked to us about the tests, you know, of our perseverance and the tests of temptation. And then he talks about the tests of testing the word and the reliability of the word and the test, you know, of just what we've gone through of temptation, of trials, and all those things that we're going to go through. But the bottom line is he wants to make sure that we understand that we are being just conformed and transformed into that just endurance young person that can, or older person that will make a difference for Jesus Christ. So as I say that today, I just say, are you ready to buckle up and be that person that's not just a sprint, not just a walk around the block, but someone that's going to live your life just making an impact for all of eternity? Well, now what James does is he goes into chapter 2. And it's really interesting how he does this. And I'll kind of just break that down for you as I just get started today. You know, he gives us five features of genuine, God-like impartiality. So the first thing he does in verses 1, he says, your belief system is important. Secondly, in verses 2 through 4, he talks about your example is important. And then in 5 through 7, he talks about there's inconsistency. And then he talks about in verses 8 through 11, there's a violation. But then in verses 12 through 13, he talks about the appeal. But as we get started today, I want to talk about that belief. You know, when James talks in verse 1, he says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Wow, what a great verse. He says, guys, don't hold your faith of our glorious Lord with an attitude of personal favoritism. It's not just yours. It's to be given out there, that we want everybody to have this. But here's the problem, guys. There is a lot of phonies out there. And I don't want to call phonies out in the sense, but I want to watch people. I want to love them. And James is saying, man, the test of this to see if someone's real is you just see, how do they deal with people? Well, you know, I'll never forget going on a ski trip. You're going to love this story, man. It was a great ski trip. I'm at Denton Bible Church. We're on a bus and we drive up, you know, 16 hours to the slopes. And as we're going, I'm sitting next to this young man, but as we're going, he's got this, I mean, his outfit is awesome. I mean, he looks like a ski dude. And as we just got, he's talking about that, how he's done 360s, he's done the rails, and he's done a flip. And I'm like, good night. I cannot wait, because, you know, I'm a snowboarder, but I'm not that radical. And I go, man, I would love to learn. And so we get out to the place that we're staying and we get our stuff ready. I look at his snowboard and I go, oh my gosh, you have got the coolest snowboard ever, when he pulls it out of that bag. And he just looked at it, and we get up the slope and we jump on the lift and we head up to the top. And as we're going up there, I'm talking about, you know, what runs do you want? Do you want to go some blues? I said, I wouldn't mind going blues. You know, he's talking about blacks and stuff. And as we get to the top, we get off. And immediately when we get off the slope, boom, he falls. And I kind of go, well, he must have just caught an edge or something. You know, his edge is probably really sharp. And so he probably just caught it a little bit of an edge. And so we pull up a little bit further and I kind of grab his arm and we kind of move out of the way. And we're about to go down. And so I said, guys, you know, I'll follow you. And so I looked at him and he goes, and he starts to take off and boom, he hits the ground again. And now he starts complaining about his board. Something's wrong with his board. Something's wrong with the board. Well, I mean, within, you know, the next 2 or 3 minutes, I'm recognizing something. This guy had a lot to say about his abilities, and everybody that was there, we were all going to follow him. We saw him. He looked like the type of guy you wanted to follow. He talked like the type of guy you wanted to follow. He had everything that there was that you would want to follow. But when it came to the reality of being real and really being the snowboarder that he talked about, He wasn't that guy. And as I sat there, I said, guys, why don't y'all go on? And I just began to talk to him. I said, okay, you got to tell me something. All the way here, you've told me how good you are, and you've told me the slopes that you've run, and you've told me the routes that you've gone, and that you've been doing blacks and blues and rails and all that stuff. Tell me about that. And he says something that it has ingrained into my brain. And he said, Chancey, it wasn't like this on Xbox. And I went, you've got to be kidding me. I said, you were taunting everybody on the bus about how good you are because of how in a virtual reality you thought you could do that? Well, you know, I say that because I believe James. You know, James had firsthand view of the most authentic man that ever lived. But he also saw a lot of people that were not as authentic. And he didn't believe, because he couldn't with his mind wrap his arms around, that his brother was the Son of God. And so when James talks about, my brethren, don't hold your faith of our glorious Lord with an attitude of personal favoritism. What he's saying there, he says, guys, your belief system is very, very important. You want to be real. I want you guys to be real. You know, you ever thought about this? People go to church and you look inside the church, and let's just say your church holds 500 people. And you look around and you go, wow, these people, 500 of us, are all authentically real. Well, you know, I got to ask a question. What does real mean? You know, because James has been talking about, you know, the test of our faith, the trials that we go through, is they produce endurance. That's the authenticity. That trials prove something, that we're real. And if we don't pass the test, we enter into that temptation, and that we fail, and the consequences of that temptation could be death. And so you go, wow, man, I don't want to be like that kid that was with Chancey that talked all about what he's doing, but yet he failed miserably and had a virtual experience that was not real. So, you know, I look in the church and there's 500 people in there. How many of those are real? Well, we could probably begin just to narrow it down if we begin to talk to them about their personal relationship with Jesus. You know, as James says here, my brethren, don't hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. You know, who is Christ to you? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten, full of grace and truth, John 1:1-14 says. And so we go, God is the Son of God. And he's the one that would be the propitiation for our sins, meaning he'll be the one that'll be the blood sacrifice for our sins, because we have failed. We need forgiveness. And there's only one way to receive forgiveness, is that someone had to be the sacrifice, and that someone had to be the perfect blood sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb that was of God. And so Jesus is this virgin born birth child that would pay the price of our sins, that he would die, but he would resurrect, and he would offer us salvation. So our faith, our belief system, is genuine when we begin to go through these trials, and we begin to go through the test, and we begin to live in endurance. I am not saying perfect. I'm saying that by the grace of God, that I continue to walk with God because of his grace, that I love him so much. And so as a result, my faith is 100% based upon Christ. But I don't look at it as an attitude of personal favoritism. It's not all mine. It's for believers. It's for those that know Christ and they want to be different. And so they've made a decision that the Holy Spirit has tweaked their heart. They understand who Christ is. They ask him into their heart because the Holy Spirit prompts them. They're not saved because of a prayer. They're saved because of what Christ has done, and they believe that. But they say, you know, I want Christ in. And so there is a prayer and a belief system they have, and that they know that was my moment of belief that I know. But then he says this. He says, guys, I need you to hear something. I need you to see an example. He said, here's the example in verses 2-4. And the example is this. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring, and he's dressed in fine clothes, and there are also comes into your presence, a poor man with dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in this good place, and you, the poor man, you sit over there in that place by the footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? You know what? That's exactly, I don't know about you, but that's what I did with this kid. The young man that was going on the ski trip, I'm talking to him because he looked like a skier. And I began to give him all my interest, all my excitement, and I couldn't wait to be up on the slope with him. When he pulled out that board, he had all this stuff. I'm going, man, this is the guy I want to be around. But the unfortunate thing was his example was only something that came out of his mouth, but it wasn't something that he modeled. And so as I look around today, you know, what James is going to say just in a little bit, he's going to talk about show me. I live in the state of Missouri, you guys know, and that's called the show me state. And so when you live in the show me state, you want to say, hey, show me your rivers, show me your lakes, show me the beauty of the Ozarks. And it is, by the way, beautiful, and I can show it to you. But in Christianity, how do you show your faith? And what James says, he says, the way you show your faith is that you don't just hang out with the rich, but you also go to the poor. Maybe you do go to the rich, but you don't go to the rich because you're showing them personal favoritism. You're not going to show distinctions. You're going to love people, period. You know, when Jesus spoke, I love this, that, you know, he didn't make distinctions. Jesus spoke and he ministered to the wealthy, to the beggars, to the virtuous woman, to prostitutes, to the high priest, to the common worshiper, to the handsome, to the ugly. When I say ugly, the leper, those that had been afflicted, to the educated, to the ignorant, to the religious, to the irreligious, to the law keepers, to the criminal. Jesus didn't look to the external, he looked to the internal. Boy, do I love that thought. I love the thought that Jesus gave us an example of not making distinctions. And that distinction that James talks about is based upon his belief system of who God is. And so his belief system takes it to the example is that we as Christians must be examples to the non-churched world. You want someone to come to Christ? Don't just tell them about Christ. Live like Christ. Pick up their dishes, wash dishes, clean the clothes, help people, serve them, encourage them. There's so many ways that you can. I'd rather see a Bible then read one any day. I heard that quote one time and I went, wow, that really makes sense. Because people don't want to read the very thing that they can't see in you. But when people see Christ in you, show me, they go, I want that because there's something different in that. Well, verses 5-7, James begins to change how he talks. And look what he says. He says, guys, listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in the faith and heirs to the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. It is not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court. Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? You see, what he says, guys, there's an inconsistency here. There's those that do, and there's those that don't. And so when you think about this, James says, you know, I've seen it. There's been distinctions. Some have you've judged with evil motives. Did God not choose in this world the poor? And so you go, wow. And are the rich also chosen? Well, it's not just the rich or the poor, it's the heart. And so when we look at this, we go, we've got to be really careful in this inconsistency that we don't say, hey, you sit here, you come there. But we want to go love our neighbors. We want to love people unconditional. So now it goes to verses 8-11, and we're going to see some confusion. Because look what he says. He says, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, man, this is good. You're doing everything according to the scriptures. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law and you are transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet he stumbles in one point, he's become guilty of it all. For you said, do not commit adultery, also said, don't commit murder. Now, if you do commit adultery, but do not commit murder, you have become still a transgressor of the whole law. So guys, you know, let me just kind of break that down just for a second. There's confusion here. You know, we sometimes minimize our sin because we think some sins are greater than other. But James says, no, no, no. Man, if you don't want to just think that you've just been a little bit sinful over here. I've only told a little white lie. While that guy's a murderer. If we have violated in any way and committed any sin, which is anything outside the perfect mark of God's perfection, using an archer's term there to shoot for the bullseye, anything outside of the perfect bullseye is called sin. And the wage of sin is death. And so James says, guys, there's no sin greater than another sin. We often ask that and we often think about that. But you know, we will look at somebody who steps up and says, you know, they lied, they stole, they cheated. We even look at our kids and go, man, my kid is really making a mistake. And so we will judge that person without the thought of, you know what? I need to probably show this some grace because I've been showed a whole lot of grace because I am just as bad of a sinner. And so I say that today with all of my heart because I look at James and I see him saying, guys, I want to check on your attitude. I want to test that attitude. I've talked about your belief in Christ. I've talked about the example. I've talked about the inconsistencies. And now I've talked about the confusion. But I want to make sure, guys, I want to make sure that you understand something. In this last couple of verses 12 and 13, he says, guys, listen very carefully. Speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the one who has shown mercy. Wow. Guys, the thing that is so important for us, for judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, I don't know about you guys this morning, but I woke up and I am very judgmental in a lot of things that I do. If someone pulls in front of me in the car, hey, I'm screaming at them. Somebody gets in front of me in a line where I'm waiting to get a ticket, I kind of get kind of frustrated because I'm in the mindset I want what I want right now. And so in my impatience, I'm not willing to love people. And I don't show mercy to people as much as I should. And Christ showed mercy to the merciless. And boy, guys, when I hear that, I go, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are my belief. You are my example. And I'm sorry at times I'm inconsistent. I'm sorry that I'm confused sometimes the way I love people and that I don't do it right. I'm sorry that I show partiality. I'm sorry that I see some sins worse than others and I judge people. And God, I want to appeal to you and I want to begin to show more mercy. I want to quit being so critical and I want to be more gracious to people because people are important to you. And I know that James saw that. I need to see this and I want to be real. I want to have authentic relationship with you. So God, today, if there's any of us out there today that haven't shown enough grace or enough mercy, will you touch our heart today and let us go and just kind of make some amends, make it right first with you, then with others, and to show mercy to those people because it first started with me. Hey guys, I hope this is as encouraging to me because there's a lot of phonies out there. My little friend that wore that outfit, guess what? He ended up confessing to the group. He ended up making it right. Man, he did a great thing. And we ended up teaching him on the bunny slopes how to snowboard. It was good. And you know what? He was embarrassed. But you know what? I'd rather him be embarrassed than to continue hiding his faults and his shame and never dealing with that. Guys, today, if there's any shame or any guilt that we need to confess, let's get out there and let's don't be the phony. Let's be the real item. Hey, God bless and have the best day ever. Bye-bye.